Tom Appel is our car guy. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom and check out consumerguide.com. And again, if you have any and all automotive and car related questions, get them in now. Talk or text 312-981-7200. Tom, welcome to the show.
Good morning, sir. Good
morning. Are you celebrating Halloween in any manner?
My wife and I have been scaring ourselves by looking at college tuitions.
There you go. Yeah.
So that's how we're celebrating this.
Yeah, okay. That's scary. That's scary stuff. There's nothing scarier than real life, Tom. I think that's one of the reasons why we all love horror movies so much. It makes the real world less scary.
I think that's it.
That might be it. Tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive.
Oh, I will. Thank you. We've been around since 1967. You probably, or maybe your parents, checked out our old print guides. Those were fabulous. People miss them, but print doesn't work anymore. We've been online since 1995. All of our new car and used car reviews and all that good stuff live at consumerguide.com. We try to have some fun with car news and go in-depth with some other stuff, and that's at our blog. That's the cgdailydrive.com blog. You can get to either site from the other.
Got it. And we are going to, a little bit later on, you have put together three great automotive Halloween costumes.
Yes.
And we have to talk about that. Now, you do this every year, right, Tom?
This is actually the list from last year.
Oh, it is the list from last year. Oh, okay.
We're running with that one.
All right, cool. So we'll go through that, and then we'll talk about how you can dress up like a very specific car and driver.
Yeah.
Okay. And we got a lot of automotive news to get to and stories that Tom's going to talk about. And but Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us. And again, if you have a car-related question, automotive-related question, get them in now. Talk or text 312-981-7200. We'll talk cars and more with Tom Appel after we take this break. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. The 20th Nick DiGilio Spooktacular for Halloween. We'll begin after the 3 o'clock news. We're going to play some scary music and some scenes from movies, and we're going to talk about your favorite horror movies and scary TV shows and all kinds of cool stuff, and take your phone calls and your thoughts for the spooktacular. That's all coming up after 3 o'clock. Right now, we're having our monthly visit from Tom Appel. He's the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. You can check out consumerguide.com, and you can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And any car-related or automotive-related questions, talk or text right now at 312-981-7200. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you.
Okay. This isn't – now, the first story that we're talking about is the Ford Fusion steering wheels. This is not a recall yet.
Right.
It's just an investigation, correct?
Right. It is a probe. And probes are born when the government decides that there's enough of a bit of weirdness that they should probably look into something. So there's an anomalous cluster of things that happened. In this case, three steering wheels came loose. That's bad, but it's a very small percentage of the 841,000 of these vehicles that exist that might have this problem. So right now they're looking at it. If they see a couple more, they're probably going to make it a recall.
What's the details on it? It's a Ford Fusion. What are the years and everything?
2014 through 2016 models are being looked at. I think that's the last time the Fusion was updated, or that they may have changed the steering wheel assembly at that point. So that's what makes that an interesting chunk to be looking at. In this case, there have been three reported incidents of the wheel simply coming off of the steering column.
Jeez.
Which is frightening.
Yeah.
Absolutely frightening. So the fact that this has happened three times makes the government sit up and take notice. It's not a lot of times, but it should never, ever happen. So, yeah, at this point, it's a probe.
So,
more, and they'll make it a recall.
Okay, so people, I mean, are aware of this, but they shouldn't, you know, they'll know if they get a recall notice if they have a Fusion, right, from those times?
Oh, absolutely, yes. First, they'd have to identify what the problem is, and that hasn't happened yet. So,
how does that, well, I mean, what are the options of, how would that happen?
That's a great question. Steering wheel assemblies are pretty simple things, actually, and they've been the same for decades. So the way they would come off would simply be that some sort of a bolt or a pin came loose. And these are super reliable things, usually. So how or why this happened is unclear.
That is really pretty scary.
Yes, it is.
That's really pretty scary. Yes, steering wheel coming off.
That should not happen ever.
No, it should not. That's what I don't know. It definitely should not happen. Wow. Okay. All right. GM is being pretty bold here. They're saying that they're going to go 100% electric.
Yes, this is electrified, and that's a very important distinction.
Okay.
A lot of manufacturers are saying this now. Volvo came out and said something similar, and every manufacturer is coming out and making some sort of claim in this. But essentially, electrification, which simply means some sort of electric aid, and that can include your basic hybrid, something like a Toyota Prius or something like that. But there will be no conventional gas engines that aren't in some way electric-assisted or pure electric vehicles in the lineup. General Motors is saying that it's going to have 20 electrified models by 2023. The timing of that makes a lot of sense because the 2025 EPA target of 54.5 MPG is still in place.
Mm.
There's a lot of talk that the Trump administration was going to rescind that, but it hasn't been rescinded yet, so everyone's still working towards that target.
Okay.
So, yeah, that you're going to see this. Toyota's already talked about making its last gasoline engine by 2035. So everyone's staking their claim now. We're all going electric.
I see. And what, the time frame on this, you said, for them to do this?
General Motors is planning to have 20 separate electrified models by 2023.
By 2023?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
That's a lot of their lineup.
Yeah. And how is this going to change things? What's going to be the big change here for this?
The big change, if you are a consumer looking at these products, is more plug-in hybrids coming to the system. These are hybrid vehicles that work just like a regular hybrid, but you can plug them in for additional range or additional hybrid activity. So it's to your benefit to do that. You don't have to do it, but you're going to have vehicles that you can plug in or not. At your discretion.
Now, here's a piece that you wrote, Tom, about a guide to electric vehicle charging, because some people might be confused by this.
Right.
And as you open up the piece that you're talking about, refueling a car that you're driving now is pretty easy. You just go to the gas station, you fill it up, and you know approximately how often you have to do that in a month. But the guide to electronic vehicle charging is a little more complicated than that. Can you talk a little bit about it?
It really is, and we talked about this plug-in hybrid phenomenon. That's that weird mid-step between plug-in and just regular conventional cars. And those are cars that you may or may not be able to get away with just plugging in your garage without buying a charger or anything. And it depends on how you use the vehicle and how you intend to use the vehicle. If you're only driving 10 or 20 miles a day and you want to max out a plug-in hybrid, you don't need to get a charging station. You can literally just plug it into a wall outlet and you're good.
Mm.
But if you have something with more range than that or you do more driving on a daily basis, you kind of have to commit and buy a charging station. Those are called level 2 charging stations, that level 1 being plugging it into a wall socket. Level 2 doubles the voltage and about triples the amperage.
The level 1, I'm sorry, level 1 is just, as you said, plugging it into a plug.
Right, and one charging.
And it takes a long time, though, obviously, for the car to charge, correct?
It takes forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get about 3 or 4 miles of range for every hour you plug in.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so it takes forever.
Yeah. Okay, so then level 2.
Level 2, it's the kind of thing you can go out and buy. If you buy an electric vehicle, you can roll it into your payments most of the time.
Oh, okay.
About $500 for the device, about $500 to install, and you get more like 25 to 30 miles per hour of charging. So it's vastly faster.
That's a lot faster, yeah.
Yeah. And then there's something called level 3 charging that's called DC fast charging sometimes. That's not something you can do at your house, but you might find those chargers at a mall or at a school or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole different ball of wax. And those charge very quickly. They're expensive. They're not always understood to be good for your battery, but that's not something that's totally understood right now. But I wouldn't count on those.
Okay. And those are pretty much the levels of charging. Do you recommend just level 2? Is that probably the one that you would recommend the most?
Absolutely. We have a level 2 charger at Consumer Guide. Works great.
Okay. Very, very cool. All right. And that whole article, the guide to electric vehicle charging, can people find that at Consumer Guide?
Yep, that's sitting on our blog. That was just written in the last week or so, so it's right near the top. Also, you know what I'll do is I'll repost that on our Facebook page right after this.
Oh, great. Very, very, very cool, because I know people will be interested in reading it, because we didn't get into all the details. Because you go into many specifics on how long and how much and all that stuff that people, I think, would be interested in reading about. All right. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right. Tom Appel is with us, and he is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. And he can answer any and all of your car and automotive-related questions at 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. We'll take a break for the news when we come back. More Car Talk with Tom Appel on WGN. Ah, yes. Good morning, everybody. Oh, welcome back. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720. It's Halloween morning. So our 20th Nick D Halloween Spooktacular show will begin after 3 o'clock. We'll talk about scary movies and take all your phone calls and scary TV shows. And we'll play some scenes from movies and listen to some spooky music and talk all things Halloween and scary related. That's all coming up after 3 o'clock for the annual Spooktacular. Our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200. And that's the number to call and to use for texts if you have a question about cars, because we're talking with Tom Appel. He's the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He contributes to their Daily Drive blog. You can check out consumerguide.com. And you can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And he will answer any of your car and automotive questions. Talk or text 312-981-7200. And we welcome Tom back to the show. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you.
All right. Let's talk about what you've been currently driving. What have you been driving lately?
This is a great question. As I mentioned, tuitions, we drove out to Iowa to look at some colleges this past weekend, and we took the Volvo V90 Cross Country on that trip, which turned out to be a fabulous road trip car. The V90 is Volvo's largest midsize car in wagon form, and then the Cross Country makes it just a little bit more SUV-like, so it's a little bit lifted. It's got some body-side clanding, and it sort of makes a wagon look like a crossover. Whether it is or isn't is irrelevant. It's just a pretty nice car.
And Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This one lists for about $60,000.
Okay. And yeah. What else have you guys been driving in general? What are people enjoying as they drive over a Consumer Guide?
We have the brand new Ford F-150 in the office. Not that much new externally, but it has a new 10-speed automatic. That's 10 gears. We all grew up with 3-speed automatic, if you're my age, yeah. 10 gears. This transmission was developed in coordination with General Motors, so Ford and GM working together on this one, and it's really a nice transmission. Clicks off really nice shifts. The vehicle is getting better mileage than you would expect from a large pickup truck. Very impressive.
Wow. That's 10 gears.
10 gears, yeah.
When did that technology start?
We've been creeping up there slowly. Seven and eight speeds were getting fairly normal.
Yeah.
And 10 speeds are now the sort of the state of the art.
Wow. See, when I think 10 speed, I think bike.
Yes. Yes.
All right. We've got some texts that are coming in. People have questions, Tom.
Okay.
816 area code says the 2018 Buick Regal Tour X, your thoughts and competition.
I think it's really cool. People who don't know this, the Regal has been redesigned for 2018, and there won't be a sedan. There's going to be a hatchback, and the Tourx, which is sort of a wagon, actually not unlike what I was just talking about, sort of an SUV-like wagon. But that's the kind of cars that people buy now. People don't buy sedans anymore. So the new Regal, not available as a sedan. I think the Tourx is really cool. Haven't driven one, but it's promising.
Okay. All right. Why has the sedan gone out of favor?
That's a great question. I think it's just perceived value. Taking up about the same space as a sedan, an SUV will get you a better ride height, better cargo space, and a little bit better ease of entry. We are an aging population, so getting in and out of the car easier is a thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. 630 area code says, my husband has a 2010 VW Golf with about 100,000 miles on it, but it's a stick shift. Do you think we'd be able to sell it?
Oh, yeah. Stick is definitely going away. I understand your concern. But Volkswagen Golfs, people love them, and there's plenty of enthusiasts out there who would look for a Volkswagen with stick.
Okay. And by the way, speaking of stick, could you imagine if that that 10-speed was a stick?
No.
Your arm would fall off just trying to get it up to 60 miles an hour.
A lot of people don't know this. Right now, the Chevy Corvette and certain Porsches are available with a 7-speed manual.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of acclimation when you first get into it.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out. That would be fantastic. You'd burn out the clutch big time if you had to go through 10 gears.
Yeah, you'd just get tired.
Yeah, that'd be a hell of a workout. Legs are working. Arm is working. Oh, man. 218 area code says, I hear that in terms of performance, manual transmissions we're getting a lot of manual and stick questions here.
Yeah.
Being outperformed by CVTs. How long has this been going on, and is it the end of manuals?
It is absolutely the end of manuals. The take rate on manuals, even in cars where they're popular, is about 5% right now. And at some point, it's not going to make sense for manufacturers to certify, which is an expensive process,
yeah,
to certify with the government that that's clean. So increasingly manuals are going to disappear. Right now in the mid-size market, it's only the Honda Accord and I think the Subaru Legacy are available with a manual, and that's it.
Yeah.
None of the other mid-size sedans are anymore. But yes, CVTs, which are continuously variable transmissions, which don't have gears, they just there's a constant sliding ratio, can outperform manuals in fuel economy and acceleration. Mm. They don't always.
But they can.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can. For people who've never driven stick, the gratification of driving stick, it's so much fun. You know what I mean?
I love it. I love it.
It's great. And that's not there when you got the automatic, but when you're actually doing it yourself and hitting it into that next gear, it's cool as hell.
Yeah, it feels like you're doing something.
Yeah, exactly, man. All right. Let's see. We got another text here. 773 area code says, I'm in the market for a used midsize SUV for around $7,000. What would you recommend?
$7,000 is tricky because cars have gotten very expensive.
Yes.
Used cars have gotten very expensive. So you're looking at something fairly old.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a hard time recommending something that old because at that point, if you're looking for $7,000 or a midsize crossover, I would simply find the thing that you think is in the best condition. At that point, I don't think brand is as important as how well that thing's been treated.
Yeah, it's the money that we're talking about here that's making the difference there.
Yeah, yeah. If we were more like $20,000-$25,000, I can make all sorts of recommendations. At $7,000, you're at the mercy of condition.
That's true. Absolutely true. Hey, I remember watching Price is Right years and years ago, and you would want to guess the price of a car, and it would be four digits.
I remember that.
No, it's so a little bit different now.
Little bit, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about this. The automakers are trying to find an easier, friendlier way to sell cars. Now, we've talked about this before, Tom. People buying cars online or people buying cars on the internet. In the past, we've talked about that. You got to close the deal, I think, face to face. Wouldn't you agree with that?
You do, and there's certain things that have. All cars have to be delivered, if they're purchased or leased, have to be delivered through a dealership. That's just franchise law.
Right. Now, so they're trying to make it easier for people to buy cars online. What are some of the things that they're doing?
Yeah, different manufacturers are doing different things. And Hyundai is right now working on something I think they're calling driver assurance package, which guarantees you a certain amount of time behind the wheel to test drive. They're trying to promise you transparent pricing. And again, they're at the mercy of the dealers, but they can try to give you the closest thing to a price as possible. But essentially, they're trying to clear that stuff up. Because one of the things that people say when they go to purchase or that they don't purchase a vehicle more often is they don't like the purchase process.
Right.
You know, because the negotiation process isn't clear and you don't know if you got a good deal or not.
Right. It's never pleasant. It's never been pleasant. Buying a car has never been a pleasant experience.
No, it's usually not, and then that's the problem. So yeah. Hyundai's got this new thing that they're advertising right now. But a couple of other interesting things. Porsche just introduced a program where you don't buy the car. You essentially subscribe to a car. So you pay them a certain amount of money a month, in this case $2,000 or $3,000, which is a lot of money, but
yeah.
Porsche.
Yeah.
And then you just get a car whenever you want it. And you can just keep changing cars. But the thing is, you never own the car. You don't even lease the car. You're just borrowing these cars from them for the subscription fee. And then the subscription includes tax, title, and license and insurance.
Okay. I was going to say, what's the liability here if you're just borrowing a bunch of different cars that you don't own?
Yeah, they include insurance. The only thing you're on the hook for is gas.
Wow. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, and that's a model that's probably something we're going to see more of. In the near future, there's a company out of China called Link and Co. LYNK&Co. And it's owned by the parent company that now owns Volvo. And they want to come in here with a bunch of vehicles and only retail them through that process.
Wow. That's fascinating. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, it's really interesting. They're calling it a subscription service. And the Link model is a car for $300 or $400 a month, which is a little bit more reasonable.
Wow. Okay. And what are some of the, right now, people buying online, what are some of the websites that they can go to that are the best to use, you think?
All the manufacturers have different services.
Yeah.
Scion tried this. Scion was aimed at youth, and they tried to do an entirely internet model. But the problem is that all Scions are being delivered through Toyota dealers, which are kind of old-school dealership network.
Right.
But that didn't really work for them. I'm trying to think of Mini is really good online. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, you still have to go through a dealer.
Right. Okay. All right. We're just talking about some of the shortcuts that and friendlier ways that you can get a car, but you're inevitably going to have to close it at the dealership. That's just what happens. So 847 area code says, what do you recommend for a 70-year-old woman with bad knees? Want something higher than a car, but not as high as an SUV. I'm looking at a Buick Encore.
That Buick Encore is a great one. That's Buick's smallest crossover. Sits very high off the ground, and that's perfect. And that's exactly what we're talking about. For a lot of drivers in their 60s or older who have knee or hip problems,
They're
looking for smaller mid-sized crossovers. Encore is a really good one. You know, we love the Mazda CX-5, which is a compact crossover, a little bit bigger than that. That's a great one, too. And it doesn't involve any getting up or getting down. You just sort of slide in.
Yeah, yeah. That's a concern with my father now. He's still driving. He's 76 years old. He drives, and he's a tremendous driver. He has a pretty hard time getting in and out of the car because he's got some pretty bad. His knees are kind of bad, and it's something that that really causes a lot of discomfort.
Yeah, and that's a problem right now. The population is getting older, but people are healthy and alert.
Yeah,
just worn out their knees. So
yeah.
Yeah, people are looking for, and that's one of the things fueling the crossover craze.
Okay. Peter in Decatur, our old buddy, says, when buying a used car, what are the best ways to see if it's been underwater from the latest flooding in the southeast? That's a good question. You know, the hurricanes came through, and, we talked a little bit about it last month. What are some of the best ways to check it out?
The best thing to do is get a Carfax report or the Equifax-style report. That's the same thing. You want to get those. Dealers should provide those for you, but if not, and you really want that vehicle, pay for one yourself. If there's been a title transfer of any kind in the last 12 months, maybe you worry a little bit. You're going to look for a new title or anything that came from, like, Texas or where the floods were, obviously. Mm-hmm. If you want to do a quick search, a lot of people don't fix for floods. And not a lot of flood cars get sold up here. That's a big problem.
Yeah.
But you can actually take your fingers and go underneath the dashboard and just feel around for silt or dirt because no one takes apart the dashboard to clean it.
Oh.
That's just labor intensive. So you can actually go up there. It would be behind the behind the speedometer in that area.
Yeah.
That's where you would find silt or residue or something like that.
Oh, that's an interesting tip. That's a good tip.
Yeah, that's the best way to do that manually.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big problem. Usually a Carfax report or something like that will make you feel really good about the car.
Great. We'll take another call. Here's Alan on WGN. Hi, Alan.
How you doing?
Good.
Tom, I wanted to know what you thought of the Volkswagen Alltrack. And also, is it worth it to pay a little bit extra for the bigger 18-inch tires?
Wow, two great questions. The Volkswagen Alltrack is the sort of SUV version of the Sportwagon, which is based on the Volkswagen Golf. One of my favorite cars you can buy now. I love that car. It's fun to drive. It's easy on the gas and reasonably affordable. The Alltrack's available with all-wheel drive, which the other versions are not. Like it a lot. I'm sorry, what was the second part of that question?
The tires.
If it's worth it for the bigger 18-inch tires, the higher-end model.
Probably not. I would drive both, but generally the 17s ride better than the 18s.
All right.
Okay, cool.
Thanks,
Thank
Alan.
Thank you very much, Tom.
All right, buddy, take care.
You.
There you go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text, and I'm answering some car questions. Tom, we're going to take a break, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Tom Appel is with us from Consumer Guide Automotive. He joins us once a month, you can check him out on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. More car stuff coming up after this on WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trip Tower overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue. It's Halloween morning, which means the spooktacular shall begin after 3 a.m. We'll talk about your favorite horror movies and talk about special horror, scary versions of television shows, Halloween-themed television episodes. Had a lot of fun with that. We'll listen to some scary music and take all of your scary phone calls at 312-981-7200 for the 20th Nick D Spooktacular. Tom Appel is with us right now, Consumer Guide Automotive, and you can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a quick call here from Linda. Hello, Linda.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I have an Equinox. My first one I bought in 05, and I just bought a brand new one in August again. And I'll tell you, they're very good on gas, and I have bad knees. I had surgery done 2 years ago for both of them,
mm-hmm.
bad back. And the seats and everything are sturdy. in a car seat, after a while, they get kind of soft and everything starts hurting. And everyone of my girlfriends, they always say, I can't get in and out of a car. Well, my Equinox, once they learn you put your hip in first and you get in, they love it. And I took a road trip with one of my girlfriends 2 years ago. We went all over from Illinois down in through Florida, the Keys around into Texas, and then back up.
Wow.
And the gas, I'll tell you, the gas was a lot cheaper than we thought it was going to be. Very good mileage on them.
Yeah.
And now they have this new thing that you can hit it, and when you're on the highway, you even get better mileage.
Right.
And it's something that anybody out there that's got back problems, leg problems, and as we get older, getting in a car, it's like getting in on the ground.
Yeah, no, I know. It's what my dad does every time he drives, and you know, it's not comfortable for him at all. So.
And another thing, too, I'm a fluffy, and some of my friends are, too. And when you're a fluffy, it's hard to get in and out of cars. And with the Equinox, we have no problem.
Okay. The Equinox, getting a high recommendation there, Tom.
I hear that. That's good to know.
Yeah. Okay. Linda, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Tom. Has Tom seen the commercials for Carvana?
I have.
Do you know anything about it?
I know a little bit about Carvana, and I have not done due diligence on this, so mm-hmm. I'm talking about what I've read because I saw the commercial. But Carvana is actually getting in between you and the dealership and doing a lot of the work for you. I'm not 100% clear on how they're paid, but I believe the dealers pay them for the referral. So I think that as a consumer, it's probably fine. But if you've seen the commercial, you know that Carvana will essentially bid the car out for you. So you're looking for a car, you tell them what they're looking for, they will find it for you and negotiate a price for you. So in many ways, you're kind of dealing with a fixed price situation.
Mm-hmm.
They're dealing with that. But they will try to do, and I don't know how they get away with this in every state, they will bring most of the paperwork to you or do as much of it as possible online. But I think you still need to sign some stuff. I think you still need to write a check in person. I don't know. I can't believe it's as simple as it looks, but it can be probably in some states.
Okay. All right, so keep an eye out for that. 773 area code says, I'm a longtime VW Jetta wagon diesel owner. Three cars, exact the same. For 2018, what are my options? I can do either American First or an import that will offer wagon space and diesel.
Yeah, that's exactly what I owned, and I sold mine back to Volkswagen, and we shed a tear because we loved our car, too.
Mm.
There are no affordable diesels left in the U.S. That's a thing. Mazda's going to be bringing one back. Now, Chevy's going to have them on the lot fairly soon in the Cruze, which is their compact sedan and hatchback, and in, we just mentioned, the Equinox. The 2018 Equinox is going to be available with the diesel as well, and that's probably the closest thing to a wagon.
Mm.
None of those are going to be available with a manual transmission, as far as I know.
Okay.
I could be wrong about that.
All right. And then Steve says, has anyone done a study of how your electric bill goes up after buying an electric vehicle?
You don't really need to do a study because it's pretty straightforward. Like to do a Chevy Volt, for example, we had one at the office for a long time. That's a 17 kilowatt hour battery. You're probably going to be charging, let's just say you charge that all the way every day and you charge it 16 kilowatts. Electricity in the Chicago area is 10 or 11 cents per kilowatt hour. So that's $1, $1.60 a day.
Mm, okay. All right. You wrote a piece with the four most important vehicles of the past 30 years. What was your criteria for this?
Yeah, I was specifically looking for vehicles that changed the way people thought about vehicles.
Mm.
So real paradigm changers.
Okay. So you got the 1991 Ford Explorer. Why'd you choose that one?
Yeah, that one is huge. 1991 was the first year of the Ford Explorer, and it was a huge deal. Before that, there was the Bronco II, there was the Chevy Blazer, there was the Jeep Cherokee, and these were compact SUVs, as we called them at the time, but they were kind of mechanical and kind of simple and not really family friendly. And the Explorer changed all that. It was bigger, it was more refined, it was nicer looking inside and out, and people immediately saw it for what it was, which was just this great bit of family transportation. It was high off the road, and that stuff that we're talking about now, why people like crossovers,
yeah,
that's why they like the Explorer, and it just caught wildfire. They sold like 500,000 of them in 2 years, and it was just
wow.
It changed everything.
Okay. The 99 Lexus RX 300.
Yeah, much like the Explorer, this was the first ever luxury crossover. and it was kind of small, and people didn't know what to make of it at first, and no one knew if it was going to fly or not, and it changed absolutely everything about when people buy luxury cars. It's still, the RX is still one of the best-selling luxury crossovers, but the original ones were just really interesting. They were kind of affordable, but kind of luxurious. They got pretty good gas mileage. They were a little bit lower to the ground than SUVs.
Yeah.
Really cool, really, really game-changing.
The other two are a 2004 Toyota Prius and the 2012 Tesla Model S. You can read about that on the CG Daily Drive. But I wanted to get into the Halloween costumes before we let you go, Tom.
Okay.
I wanted to close with that since it's going to segue into our Halloween spooktacular. All right, here's your first costume that you can go as you can be a 70s/80s Datsun 280 ZX driver. And your costume elements are?
A shiny open neck shirt, colored lens rimmed glasses, and gold chains.
And you also give suggestive dialogue to really play that character, and you have some suggestive dialogue here.
Yes. My favorite is I've got the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack on 8-track and cassette.
80s BMW 3 Series driver.
Yes. When people think jerk, this is often the car that they associate with that.
So... Yeah. Yeah, you got to have a cell phone weighing no less than 5 pounds, a blue or pink dress shirt with a white collar, and a liberal slathering of polo for men. And you can say, I can drive stick, but I got the automatic because it cost me another grand, but I need a free hand for my phone. In order to play the part. And then this is my favorite, I got to tell you, Tom.
Mine too.
90s Pontiac Grand Am GT driver. To explain what you would look like if you were a 90s Pontiac Grand Am GT driver.
Okay, I'm recommending a hair metal band concert shirt from either Poison or Dokken. Knockoff Oakley sunglasses that can't be real because real Oakleys are a little expensive.
Right.
And a bottle of Zima.
That pretty much sums it up. I love this. And then, of course, my favorite line that you have here is, I can totally drive stick, but the automatic's faster. A lot of people don't know that. So there's some Halloween suggestions for costumes for if you're going out tonight. Tom, people can subscribe at Consumer Guide, correct?
They can, yeah. We also have a newsletter going, too. You can just shoot us an email there.
Okay.
Yep.
And then you get to email, follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. All right, Tom, good luck with the college choosing.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll talk to you next month, okay?
Looking forward to it.
All right, buddy. Tom Appel, he's great. Take a quick break. The news is coming up, and then right afterwards, we're going to get scary. It's time for the 20th Spooktacular right here on WGN.